The series of lessons that we're doing at this point is the Lord and His church and how He wants His church to behave. What does He want us to do and be? There are a number of incidental things that we think of the Scripture in regard to what is taught about how we should live and how we should behave. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, you'll see a passage there that tells us exactly how we ought to be. The Spirit itself, it says, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Romans 8 and verse 16, it tells us that's the point to be made, and tells us that we are recognized by the Spirit of God who bears witness with our spirit. In other words, He sees our heartfelt actions, our heartfelt desires, our heartfelt consequential events. And we're to be people who serve the Lord in this way. And in the church of the Lord, as He talks about this particular thing, He talks about the church which is at Rome. And He mentions in Romans chapter 1, if you'll notice there verses 1 and 2, you'll see how reference is made to the church there in that passage of Scripture. In Romans 1, He speaks of Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which He had promised before by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom ye also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all be in the Rome, blessed beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, these verses tell us a great deal about who we are and what we are, and tells the idea that we are to be people who are holy in our conduct, looking forward to the resurrection of the dead as well, and being people who are called in Christ Jesus, called to be saints in the Lord, it notes to us there. Saints, sanctified, is not the idea of a person who has been dead many years of time and received sainthood as a result of that. But these people were living. They were living right there in that day and time, and they were faced with this situation whereby they could be saints of God, obedient to the faith that was delivered to them. And as they were people of the Lord. Let's rejoice in that idea. In Matthew chapter 12 at verse 23, reference is made to the Holy Spirit and how that when we deny someone and we deny the way of the Lord in their lives and the way that we do among people, we find ourselves looking at the Spirit of God and wondering what we might say. And it is noted there in Matthew 12 and at 23 that if we speak regarding certain situations for other people, it will be forgiven us. But it notes to you and me that in this regard, that if we speak against the Holy Spirit, then we will not be forgiven in this age nor in the age to come. So let's be careful in regard to denying the place of the Spirit of God who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He is with us. He sees within our heart. He sees within our being exactly what we mean by what we say in prayer, what we say to others in their conduct of life. If we talk about love that the Lord talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, we'll talk about love that is permeating desire and permeating something that's a hope that we have in our minds and in our ways. It's the way of God that we want in their daily walk of life. And as a result of that, we live that kind of way in life. In Romans 8 and at 20 and 16, it tells us that He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, meaning that He is there. He is with us tonight. He knows if our intention is now to bow before the Lord, if we're worshiping God as we sing together and as we pray together and as we participate together in this study together. He knows whether our mind is here and whether it is there. He knows whether our mind is with the Lord and the hope that we have with the soul or whether it is not. And so let's be sure that He bears witness with our spirit that we are practicing the way of the children of God in our lives. Think about that in regard to the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. And in regard to this, let's talk about the Heavenly Father. How Jesus talked about the Father. In John chapter 12, in reference to this particular matter, we see a lot of things that's said there about Jesus. He said, "He who rejects me and receives not my word hath one that will judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And thus Jesus went on to say that the words I speak unto you are not my own, but they're the Father's words that he gave unto me to speak unto you. And that's the word that I'm speaking to you and that will judge you in the last day. So as Jesus' words are words of the Heavenly Father, we appreciate the fact that he is representing the Heavenly Father as he goes about his work in life. When we talk about these things, we're talking about things that John 12 and 49 says are the words of the Heavenly Father that he gave to Jesus, who Jesus taught as he lived here upon this earth among those apostles and disciples of the Lord and among the people in general. We're to be people in his church that honor the Father. These are the Father's words that we're reading tonight. These are the teachings of the Lord that we're reading tonight. And look a little bit further with me in this regard as we read in Matthew chapter 12 and down at verse 30. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him in this world, nor in the world or age to come." The idea of being a person who denies the presence of the Spirit of God and denies his existence to represent the Father's words and Father's teaching should not be done by any of us. Let's be people who accept what Jesus says because he said it from the Father. And let's be people who accept the fact that the Holy Spirit bears record with our spirit that we are still the children of God. We're going on with the Lord and being in that way. He says this in Matthew 12 and 36. "I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned." We think about our tongue and the use of our tongue, described by James in James chapter 3 as an unruly world of evil, set on evil, set upon that way by the fire that is from hell or Gehenna itself. We'd be people who confess our wrongdoings to God. We'd be people who are sorry about the way that we talk that is not of God's way. And that's the way that we're supposed to live, the way we're supposed to act in the church as well. In reference to the church itself, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, he tells them that there be some among you who are really people who are following not the Lord's way, but their way of the devil and the way of wrongdoing in that way of life. We're talking about a way of life that is not a good thing. And he tells us there that we're to be people who do not forsake the way of worship. That we're not to be people who say, "Well, I can take it or leave it. It comes or goes with my mind and my heart." Hebrews 10 and verse 25 mentions to us a sacred idea of how to live and how to behave. I want to read around this passage of Scripture as well as this one, but the one that we emphasize right here is Hebrews 10 and verse 25 in reference to worship and how we gather together. And he says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." You notice that there were people in that first century that were not paying attention to gathering for the worship of the Lord, gathering for that occasion, remembering it, telling others about it, enjoying this relationship with the Lord that we have. Rather, they were people who were denying the presence of the Lord and denying his way. It's a sad thing to note. If we note, so it says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We are to be people who exhort one another. What is that day approaching? Is it the day of the Lord's return that's approaching? Many people believe that that's the case. Some people believe that it's the Lord's Day, the day of worship, the day of gathering in His name. And that's the idea that's here said. It is noted here that this is the way that we might be understanding it, because in verse 26 it says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified unholy, and done despite to the Spirit of grace." When we find ourselves being people who resist the way of the Lord and the way of teaching of the Lord, forsaking the assembly of ourselves together where the teaching of the Lord is given, where the teaching of the Bible is pointed out to us, where we can turn to it and read for ourselves, that is the way, it's a sad thing for us to be in that position with God, forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. There are brethren who find themselves unable to see you well enough when the darkness comes. And as a result, they miss a service of the church, as there are people who are missing tonight. I can understand those particular things. I believe the Lord does understand those circumstances of life. But I don't believe the Lord, nor do I, understand how that during the times of darkness, we can find ourselves going and driving to a graduation exercise, a wedding practice, a wedding itself, events that go on with mankind. How is it that we can justify forsaking the assembly of ourselves together because it's dark and it's difficult for me to drive as I should? And yet we find ourselves involved with all manner of things that are human related and human and family related within the scope of the darkness as well. I don't believe the Lord understands that. I don't believe that I can understand that either. It's the idea of being prepared for that time and that occasion and that way. And the darkness that we find today at this particular point in time is not the darkness that we will find a week from day. For we'll fall back and we'll have some light that comes upon us, but then we'll be in utter darkness as we depart in this place. We'll try to do our very best to have people be able to see in the parking lot and be able to drive up to the hill on that way. Sometimes we have people to go up to the hill and look for the cars that come dashing over that hillside. The other side is long and you can see cars and vehicles coming that direction. But from that direction over there, coming from North Crockett Road, it is a speed trap so many times. And it's so dangerous for us to get on it and find ourselves turning to the left that way, slowly going about our business, and yet be in harm's way all the way around. Let's be people who thank God for the safety of our drive and the safety of our ways, and let's be people who follow His teaching in regard to this, the Spirit of God. For it is noted in verse 30, "For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." When we find ourselves not honoring his way and not following his way, we will call to remembrance former days in which ye were illuminated and you endured a good fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly when you were become companions of them that were so used. But ye had compassion on me in my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have a heaven of better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done this will of God, you might receive the promise. Patience within ourselves, that we find God in part of our gathering to worship, our time of gathering, even in nighttime, the opportunity to be a part of a service. Let's be people who follow the way of the Lord in the church of the Lord. And then in reference to 1 John chapter 4, reference is made to the love that we're to have. and the love that is described. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6, he had described that love that we're to have. And he says regarding that love, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. If the love of God that we have doesn't rejoice in iniquity going on, wrongdoing, sinful practices being done by ourselves and by others, but we have the idea in mind that we want to teach that person and show that person the biblical record of how to talk and how to act and how to behave. And in the church of our Lord, we find this opportunity. We find an opportunity to love like we should and be the kind of people like we should in life. In 1 John chapter 4, reference is made to the love of God. Beginning at verse 10 on through the chapter, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The love that we have in the church for one another should be great and good. It should be noble and kind. It should be the kind of love that does not go away because it has been a few years gone by and we simply showed love for those years and now we don't have to. But the idea is to continue being a person who loves the Lord our God and be that kind of person in life. When he says there in 1 John 4 verse 7, Beloved, love not one another. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. For he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. For in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The presence of the Lord in His church is that way. And we're to be people who have that kind of love that exists. And the love that is named in 1 Corinthians 13 has many attributes that are given to it. 1 Corinthians 13, particularly verse 6 right in the middle of the chapter. When he says in regard to that love that we're to be people who do not uphold iniquity, but that we love the truth. And what did we read this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15? I want to come unto you shortly, Paul says to Timothy. And then he says, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Here he tells us to use that truth in our lives too. And we are taught to use that truth as we behave as we should. It's the way of God for us in our lives. If we're the kind of people, he says there in verse number 19 of 1 John 4, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? He's talking about the wonderful Father in heaven. And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. The way that we love one another is significant. And the way that we love one another is a part of his body and a part of his body, the church of our Lord. Let's be people who go forth with this place tonight with a renewed spirit of realizing the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, or we're not. Let's be people who recognize what He says and what He does about our lives. For that day will come about at the judgment where we stand there, and I was a part of your church, I was a part of your body, I was faithful to you. And who does the Lord turn to and find out if we really were? The one who bore witness with our spirit that we were the children of God. And he has only to say, yes, this person was. But if he witnessed, no, this person was not, it'll be a sad occasion for us at the judgment of God. As we stand together and sing this song of encouragement tonight, think about our relationship with the Lord and our way. And we'll sing that song and mention again a worship of God and a speaking to one another as we sing. Let's stand together today.
Anywhere with Jesus,
I can say
he go.
Anywhere he leads me
in this world,
below.
Anywhere with
him,
his glory
would fade.
Anywhere with
Jesus,
I am not afraid.
Anywhere,
anywhere,
fear I cannot know.
Anywhere with
Jesus,
I can say,
anywhere with Jesus,
I can go
to sleep.
When the darkening
shadows
round about
me creep,
knowing
I shall
waken
nevermore
to roam.
Anywhere
with Jesus
will be
home, sweet
home.
Anywhere,
anywhere,
here
I cannot.
I can safely
go.
Table's been left prepared. Does anybody need to take tonight?
For the Lord's Supper.
Okay.
Thank you,
Lord.
Appreciate it.
Number 46. And after the song, Robert, will you do this?
Good.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for the service tonight, for thy holy word that directs us toward a way of life that we ought to think and do, and knowing that Spirit bears record with us that we are behaving as children of thine. Bless us in every effort for good. Bless us in safety as we travel about. And bless us in the time that we have with others to encourage everyone around us in Christ Jesus' sake. And it's in his name that we humbly pray, and amen.
Amen.